Welcome to Let's Grow. This is a personal development podcast, and I'm your host, Jeremy A. Taylor, but you can call me JT. Whether it's a short message from yours truly or an interview with a special guest, this is your place for weekly encouragement to keep going and growing. My goal here is simple, to leave you better than I found you. And I know your time is valuable, so let's dive right in. Hey guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. As always, I hope this message finds you well and serves you well. But before we begin, here's a quick word from one of our sponsors.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is JT, and this is the Let's Grow podcast, and I'm hanging out with my dear friend, Lamar Womble. Man, I'm so crazy excited for you to meet this guy, for you to hear a little bit of his story, find out what he does, what he specializes in, the gift that he has for encouraging people, and why he has such a huge heart for helping people grow and get better. We're kind of one and the same, but we're not the same, but we really are, which is why we've become friends the way that we have. And it's a crazy story how we met. We'll get into those details, but this is episode 21. We're talking about passion and purpose. And you know, we just want to leave you better than we found you. This is your stop for encouragement. We just want to help you grow. Lamar, man, thanks for joining me on the podcast, brother.
What up? Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, and definitely appreciate any opportunity to get out there and give the good word to the people, particularly around passion and purpose, because those are things that I love talking about. So just grateful for the opportunity to be here with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, let me make sure I preface this, guys. This dude is pretty – he's riding high right now because he's one of those LeBron fans. And
let's go!
And all of my listeners, all of my followers, you already know where my devotion is. But Lamar and myself, we still get along. He's a LeBron guy. I'm an MJ guy. We can still have some good conversations about it. So he's excited about that. Matter of fact, man, I was thinking this afternoon, like, dude, I'm a little disappointed that basketball's now, like, we were gifted this couple months that we don't have basketball. And man, it's been good for my soul. What about you?
Let me tell you, I'm actually happy that it's over because I was up way too late.
Yeah.
Watching the games. And then I was up way too late watching the highlights after the games. And then I was up early watching sports talk in the morning and watching my baby girl at the same time. So honestly, like this week, I've been in bed by 10:30 every single night for the first time in months. So, like, I am actually not mad that it's over, but, man, it was awesome to have it through the fall.
Yeah, it really was, and I'm right there with you, man. I sacrificed a little sleep to watch some good action, but now ready to grind out, get some more rest, and get some more work done. But, Lamar, let's dive right in. You and I, we connected online by way of Instagram, right, several years ago. I don't even remember how many years exactly right off the top of my head, but I think – we were following a mutual contact on Instagram. I saw a comment that you left and so I peeped your page. I thought, man, this guy looks like he's sharp. He's got it going on. He's positive. You know, he's passionate. I can tell that he has this appetite for encouraging people. Like, man, we should connect. I think a few messages later, next thing you know, we're on a phone call and we're kind of brainstorming through some ideas of like, how can we stay connected? How can we possibly work together in the future? But you were in New York, I'm in Kentucky. And so pretty crazy how that's all happened. And tell everyone how we actually got an opportunity to meet face-to-face for the first time.
Yeah, so yeah, finally I got an opportunity to go to Kentucky to speak and ended up going down to speak at this college down there, Berea. And had an opportunity to reach out to JT as soon as I found out I was going. I was like, oh man, like, we've been friends for at least 3 years now, never met in person. Like, it's like throwback 2000 stuff. We were like pen pals, kind of, you know what I mean? And I was like, let me let him know I'm going to be there and see if he can come out to the talk. I had an opportunity to meet your family, and that was obviously awesome because I know you're so happy to be able to bring and share the work that you do with them, but also just being around them all the time. So I was excited to meet Jalen Miles and have a chance to kind of chop it up with you and introduce you to the people that brought me down there in hopes that, you know, you would have the opportunity to be on their stage as well.
Yeah, I mean, guys, think about how crazy that is. New York, right? New York and Kentucky. And this guy isn't just from – he's not from New York. He's from Nebraska, right? And so what are the chances of him having a speaking engagement literally like 40 minutes up the road from where I live? Crazy. Yep. So I was like, man, we have got to go see Lamar, hang out with him for a few minutes. And, you know, in the – over the course of time that you and I had already been connected, you know, our lives had changed drastically. You know, I'd gotten married, right? Had a child. You had a child on the way, right? Now you do have a little baby girl. And so, man, it's just, it's awesome to see the stages of life that we've grown through in the time that we've known one another. And that's brought even deeper purpose and meaning to the work that we do. Would you agree?
Yeah, listen, well, it's funny because I know, you know, looking at some of the questions that you sent me just to kind of, that we want to kind of talk about today, man, just looking at those questions and how I would have answered them 5-7 years ago versus how I would answer them now, completely different ballgame. So yeah, with experience and with age, obviously comes growth and maturity, and this podcast is all about growing. So really interested to kind of share, you know, the what happened in between then and now, and how that can kind of shift your thinking and what and where you want to go.
Totally. So let's start here, Lamar. Obviously, you have a passion for teaching passion and talking about that and stewarding that conversation. You have a passion for helping people find their purpose and live their life on mission and, you know, flesh out become their best self and do their best work, which obviously, like I feel like I'm talking about myself here, right? We're one and the same. But how did you, where were you at whenever you and I first met, when we first connected? What kind of work were you doing at that time? And how were you using that platform that you had to talk about passion and purpose?
Yeah. I think when we met, it was probably like 2013-ish, 2014, maybe. At that point, I'd been speaking for 4 years, and two things I would say is where I was in terms of being a speaker. One, I was talking about passion solely as like, go find a career, go find a job that you love and go do that thing forever and ever and ever. Right. Or one or two things. And that's kind of the message I was preaching. Go do that. And the other thing I was also sharing when I was giving my talks is that I wasn't very vulnerable in my talks. And so two things were happening at the same time, is that I wanted to evoke more emotion in my talks. And so I had to open up, because I was always kind of like, I'm just going to be a happy-go-lucky guy, which I was, with a positive attitude. Here's the five things that, you know, you can do to go after your passion. But I also, which is fine and good, like that, it worked, it was working, but I felt like I wasn't connecting as deep as I wanted to with audiences. So I got coaching on how to like incorporate my story a little bit more into how people can go about finding their passion. And then I also transitioned into to stop talking about passion singularly. And I started talking about what I call now passion mindset, which is developing the mindset to go do work that you love. And more importantly, when you run into places where you're no longer doing work that you love, passion mindset says that you can take a step back, pull yourself out of that situation, no matter what the money is, what the resources are, what the, you know, how cool the employees are at the job that you're working, that you can take a step back in order to take a step forward in the direction of wherever your passion is going. And so that's where I was back in the day, singular focus on passion and not telling my story. And where I ended up and where I am now is deeply telling my story to be more vulnerable, to evoke emotion and fun and laughter from my audience, but encouraging people to not just pursue passion, but passion mindset.
Man, guys, did y'all hear what he just said? Did you hear what he said? That no matter where you are, where you come from, what work you're doing. Yeah, it's a blessing. It is a privilege. Man, it is unbelievable. It's an unbelievable feeling to be able to do work that you truly love. But what if maybe you're in a less than desirable situation? What if you don't have a great relationship with your boss? What if you're working with some people that you really don't like to be around? That does not have to determine how you approach your work. You can still show up. You can still have purpose and meaning and put forth a great effort, bring a great attitude. You can still have passion while you're where you're at until you get to where you want to be. Is that what you're saying there, Lamar?
Yeah, I think while you're there, you absolutely have to do everything in your power to make sure that you are showing up being your best self, right? But what I'm also saying is that if you no longer are connected to the work, you no longer have a passion for the work, are you willing to take a step backwards out of that position to take a step forward into something else that you maybe rediscover your passion in? Sure. And I think a lot of times people get stuck in a job or career that they don't love, but they're making $70,000 that pays for their house, pays for their kids, right? And I'm just a firm believer that when you are feeling stuck, like you can't take a step back to take a step forward in another direction, that unhappiness or the challenge of going to that work every day then has a negative impact on you, and then that trickles down to your partner, trickles down to the kids, and trickles down to family members. And so, yes, like show up fully and fully capable. And definitely what you're saying is don't let the circumstances dictate your attitude, which is absolutely true. But when you get to a point where you're no longer passionate about the work, do you have the courage to take a step back?
Sure.
Yeah. To go pursue something else.
That's good stuff. Yeah. Someone once told me that you really have two options. If you're not doing what you love and loving what you do, you really got two options. You can either change what you're doing or you can change how you feel about what you do. And at the end of the day, both of those takes courage, right?
Absolutely.
Both of those takes courage, because what's easy but ends up becoming hard in the long run is continuing to go through the motions and stay where you're at and continue to do what you've always done, because that's just the way you've always done things, but that doesn't lead anywhere special.
To your point of this podcast, it sure doesn't lead to growth.
Yeah, totally. Let's talk about who's been a source of inspiration for you, because Lamar, you know, in your position in New York, when you were working kind of in the public education space, you were partnered with public education, but you weren't a teacher, right? You were kind of a character development coach. You were give us a little blurb on what that position was.
So the title was Dream Director. And I was like a life coach, part counselor, part educator, part teacher, part event planner, part leadership development expert. I was like, I really felt like a ninja. I would go into school and have conversations with kids about their passions and dreams, help them turn those passions and dreams into projects or businesses, nonprofits, whatever they wanted to create. And the other half of the job was to develop school culture and work in partnership with administrators to develop the culture of the school through student-led leadership and voice.
Because with a lot of inner city situations in kids, we find a space and a mindset of some difficult situations that they're coming from, right? Certainly a much different situation in inner city New York than rural Kentucky, right? Like nothing that I've ever, right? No space that I've grown up in. And so what Lamar was doing really was helping change the conversation that was going on here for a lot of youth. Absolutely. and then showing them how to take action right on that. Just like a kid in a class that I had once upon a time said, man, I thought dreams, I thought goals, I thought aspirations, I thought those things were for other people, not people like me. Right. And so with that being said, Lamar, you've been a mentor to many young people, right? But who's been a mentor to you? Who's been a source of inspiration for you?
Yeah, so a couple things. When I was younger, high school age, Diddy, Sean Combs, Puff Daddy, he was kind of like my idol. He was kind of who I looked up to in terms of business and business mogul, mainly because I wanted to be a fashion designer when I was in high school, when I was younger. And so he was that guy that had all of it, right? He had music and he had business and he had clothes. And so I was
had the Sean John line.
Sean John, exactly. So I definitely looked up to Diddy. And then after that, I kind of went through a phase right after high school, maybe up until I was 30, to be honest, JT, where I didn't really, for some reason, I just didn't believe in mentors. And to be honest, I think the way I looked at mentors, especially when I was, you know, 18 to 30 range, but more so when I was in my mid 20s, is that like mentors just kind of came in and left, right? Like, and that wasn't from me having mentors, but that was from me seeing how mentor groups worked, mentor organizations worked. It just felt like it wasn't sustainable. So I didn't really believe in mentorship relationships. So that was one. And then the other half of that was I felt like coming out of college, I accomplished and did so much that I felt like actually my ego was through the roof and nobody could tell me anything. And that's
I've already gotten past where a lot of other people expected me to get to.
Yep. Yeah, you just couldn't tell me nothing because I just felt like, well, I'm doing this on my own and I've done it. To this point, why do I need to listen to what you're saying? And so I went through that phase, 18 to 30. And then let me tell you what happened. When I turned 30, and that's when I needed to change my message up, and I didn't know how to do it. When I wanted to get more emotion and connection with my audiences, I didn't know what to do, how to do it. And I went to a training seminar that helped me kind of develop my story and my talk, opened up to the people there, and they trained me on how to do that. And one of the founders of that company actually became a mentor of mine and probably somebody I look up to the most in terms of speaking. But Carlos Ojeda Jr. Is the CEO of CoolSpeak, and he's the agency I speak for. But he's become a mentor of mine and been tremendous in basically helping me develop my mindset on how to look at my career and my talk and what I do in front of audiences. And so he's been, for the last 5 to 7 years, he's been that person.
Yeah. So he's essentially helping you reinvent yourself, if you will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's another nugget there, guys, right here. That's another pearl that Lamar just dropped, that on your way to becoming the best version of yourself, it's going to require an investment in yourself. Mm-hmm. It's going to require other people outside of yourself because you can't get to where you want to get to all on your own, right? Life is a team sport. One is too small of a number to achieve anything great. And so it requires you to re-up, to reinvest in yourself, to reinvent yourself. And it's okay to do that, right? And I think for most people in 2020, this has been a year of a lot of reflection where people have seen, man, what are some things about my life that I need to change? Because now, because of all this stuff that's happened, it's put us in a position where we've had to slow down and we've had the opportunity to think about, is my life going in the direction that I want it to go? Am I becoming the person that I want to become? The dad, the husband, the wife, the mom, the speaker, the professional, whatever, you know? So before I get too far off topic, let me reel it back in. Right. But speaking of 2020, you know, we talked about reinventing yourself and I appreciate you sharing there a little bit about your mentors, Lamar. You know, everyone needs a good mentor. Everyone needs someone to speak life into them and help them maybe see some things about themselves that they don't see on their own. But how have you grown personally in 2020? You know, what have you learned about yourself or how have you grown through the challenges that, because what a lot of people don't know is that this guy on this podcast right here with me right now lives in New York City. And at a point in time, that was the epicenter of this whole crazy COVID crisis. So the lockdown situation, it was ugly there, right? So you were facing some really big challenges. So how have you grown through, you know, in 2020, Lamar?
So all the things that you said were true. And I think one thing that is funny to think about when it comes to just that whole situation is that, you know, I had my baby at the beginning of this year. So January 25th, my daughter was born and we were already on lockdown, right? So like we had a newborn, we already weren't going anywhere. So like, you know what that's like. The first month is like, no, you're not coming over. No, you're not coming over. No, you can't see her. We're just going to be at home with the babe. So by the time COVID happened, middle March, I had already been at home for a month and a half. And I was like, oh, I love this. Like I was already like getting into my dad groove. So I would say that's one of the biggest things that changed for me. Obviously there's this natural adjustment and change that comes with fatherhood and having to care for a child and, you know, cleaning out ears and sucking boogers and doing all the stuff that I didn't know you had to do, you know? So learning how to just like care for a child was an experience in itself. So that's one big thing. And then the other thing is, you know, I didn't need this cause I was already, pretty well balanced and how I approach my work and career and all that. But you know, for me, I always look at my values and, you know, I look at what are the top three things that speak to who I want to be in the world. I want freedom and flexibility in my time. I want to spend significant amounts of time with my friends and my family. And then the one I added on this year was gusto, is that I want to go above and beyond for my partner who at the time was pregnant. And obviously, when you soon after you have a baby doesn't mean that the pregnancy is over. There's a whole bunch of stuff that comes along with supporting your partner. So I looked at my values often and just reminded myself of who I wanted to be. And what that required me to do, JT, is that it actually just required me to focus less on work and more on family. And so honestly, there was months where I just didn't do anything. And realizing that that's okay. And that's just because the work's going to be there. And this was amidst COVID too, where like business was also disappearing.
Because this was the work in this moment.
Exactly. Literally. And I knew that. And so I was just like, I'm just going to do this. And now, you know, I don't necessarily even want to go back, to be honest. Like I love getting up every morning and cooking for my girl and for my partner and playing with my baby in the morning and reading her books. Like I don't even start work till like 11:30 after she goes down for her first nap, then I'll start work. And that's if I feel like it, you know?
Well, wait till those naps start dwindling, my friend. Yeah.
And
the window of work begins to get more challenging. I'm telling you, that's why I'm training Miles right now to be my little assistant. That okay, way he can help me out. That's
you got to do both.
It's hard. I appreciate you sharing that, Lamar. And man, it's been so awesome to see you grow, you know, as a, not just as a speaker and as a professional, but as a father and as a person, and the conversations that you and I have been able to have and how those conversations have evolved. I mean, literally, it's been, man, I'm extremely proud of you. But let me ask you this, as we work.
And you've been a huge part of that and part of my growth as a partner and as a father, and your advice and just kind of giving me a good word whenever I need it. I'm definitely grateful and appreciate you for that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. As we work to close down here, when it comes to passion, when it comes to purpose, obviously we know that work isn't just the only aspect of life that we need to focus on. However, because work is such a huge part of our culture and ingrained into the fabric of America, and people identify themselves by their work, that's been one avenue that as you and I have transitioned into our 30s, and we've been speaking to different audiences versus speaking to just strictly young people, because I'm a former teacher and coach. Now we're able to speak to a lot of folks and speak to them about the fact that their work doesn't identify who they are as a person, right? That there's more to life than that, right? So just that's just one plug that I wanted to make there. But for you, Lamar, if there's someone on this that's listening to this podcast that says, you know, I just want to be more fulfilled in my work. I want to be more fulfilled in what I do every day. You know, what are some recommendations you would make for those individuals?
Yeah, so I think a few things. One, I mentioned it when I was giving the last response. Are you clear on what your values are? Are they written down? Can you see them? So that way, when you look at your values, you then take a look at your actions and what you do every day. And you say, do my actions align with my values? Right? Because your values are foundational. It's foundational who you, like you said, it's not what you do, but it's who you want to be. And your values are foundational to that. So do your actions align with your values? The second thing I would say is your passion doesn't always have to pay you, right? So clearly, I would always encourage for people to go do and find work that they love to do. But also, outside of your work, are you occupying your time with things that you also love to do that could possibly also pay you, right? And so diversifying your passions and getting your hands in a bunch of different things. And then the third thing is recognizing that you don't have to, that your job doesn't have to be the lone way that you create wealth. And that's something for me, JT, that I've been like working on. And that's why I'm so okay with kind of like taking a few steps back on the speaking, because I'm like, okay, let me get into some real estate investing. Let me get into some stocks. And when you start diversifying where you get your money from, you put less pressure on your job. And you realize that a lot of folks that are wealthy, it didn't come from their job. They saved their money wherever they could. And then they made smart investments into stock market, into real estate. And so now they're getting paid in a bunch of different arenas that doesn't rely upon them having a job and that being the sole place of their income. So that for me has been like, oh, you don't even need to be rich to go do that. Like, I know hall monitors in New York City high schools that own multiple properties in different countries because they knew how to save well, and they didn't overspend. You know, so and I would say those three things.
Man, that's such phenomenal wisdom and advice. But guys, let's not mistake the fact that these aren't things that he learned overnight. This has been a growth process and a journey that he's been on, where these ideas and these truths, you know, he's now recognized these things because through the course of his career, he's learned that, you know what, as I continue to grow as a person, it's going to help me do whatever it is that I do. I can go out and do it even better. I can go add more value in those spaces because it's not just about the work that you do. It's who you are becoming in the process. Man, I preach that. I will preach that until the day that I die. Let me also bring this up real fast. I don't think you and I have ever really talked about this, but it was an idea that was thrown at me one time, and I thought it was worth repeating, and I think it's pretty good. It says, passion with no purpose can be dangerous. Passion with no purpose can be dangerous, but passion with purpose can be very productive. What are your thoughts on that, Lamar? Because when I hear that idea, passion with no purpose, it's great. I will take being excited about something, you know, all day, every day, twice on Sunday. But I think the idea there is you can be fired up about something, but without the right focus, right, you may be able to crash and burn, right? But yeah. Passion with purpose, some things. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think that it depends on where you are in your process. I think for young people, particularly, like, recognizing that you're passionate about something and just trying whatever that thing is with, even with no intention or no purpose, is valuable, because the more things you try, the more things you get clear on that you do love or you don't love. And so you can make decisions on what to do going forward or how to go forward. If you're where we are, I definitely think it's wise to identify the passion and then go get the coaching, support, and the people that are going to uplift you in order to develop that purpose and go with intention so that you're not wasting your time. And you can be more self-aware that way, because people can tell you, well, this isn't your jam particularly. You need to hire somebody, or you need to go have somebody else do this, and you stick to your thing and do what you do best. So I think just depending on where you are in the process, that quote is definitely appropriate.
Totally, totally. Well, as we begin to wrap things up, you know, you've talked about your growth, your journey, some things that you've learned along the way, kind of where you and I are at now, that not everyone is at the stage where they kind of have an idea of, like, they understand who they are, what their purpose is, why they want to do what they do. And, you know, you have some things in place in your life where you have a strong reason why and a conviction, right, to go out and win for the home team, right?
Yep.
But when did you know, because there's a lot of people who aren't where we're at, when did you know that you wanted to do this kind of work and this is how you wanted to help people?
I was 21 years old and I was at a conference my junior year of college. I was at a student leadership conference, and very similar to what you said about Les Brown, I had a moment with a speaker named Dr. Jermaine Davis. He asked to the crowd, he said, what would you do for free for the rest of your life? And this is just a great way to bookend this. He said, what would you do for free for the rest of your life? And I thought to myself, like, this fool must be crazy. I'm not going to college, you know, like, I'm not going to college to go work for free. Like, that's not the mindset that we think with. But that hit me and I was like, I don't know what I would do for free. And so at the end of that session, I was like, you know what? I think I want to do what this guy does. I think that's what I want to do. So I went and talked with him about it. And then when I got back to Nebraska, I started hitting up all the speakers that were in Omaha. How do I do this? What do I need to do? And then I was off to the races. But it comes back to, what would you do for free for the rest of your life? And finding mentorship. So funny.
That's awesome. I think we're going to have to re-up on this podcast and come back for a round two and talk a little bit more and go even deeper on, like, the psychology of working with people and why it's so fulfilling, but also why it's so challenging, and maybe offer some tips to some people who want to learn more about public speaking, or some steps that you and I took along the way, and some mistakes that we made. Maybe that can help other people expedite their growth. I'd love to have that conversation at some point in time. But as we close down, obviously, you know that I'm focused on leadership, personal growth and development, helping people grow at work and in life. I just want to see people move toward what is fulfilling in their life and leaving people better than they found them. And of course, you know where my faith lies, you know, operating from that standpoint of giving our best to the good Lord because of what he's given to us. That's my focus here. But as we close down, Lamar, any thoughts, any ideas that you want to, you know, you want to leave our listeners with, just a quick word of encouragement?
Yeah. You know, something I've been thinking a lot about lately, and it's just a great parting shot about, you know, how to discover who it is that you want to be. Start with the end in mind. You know, forget passion, forget leadership. As you just look at your life and you think about who you want to be, start with the end in mind. Start with, what is the legacy that you want to leave on the world? And you answer that question, I want to do these three things. And then you live into those three things every single day. You try to be that. You try to live into that. And I think that'll be a great place to start if you don't know where to start.
Man, thank you so much for sharing your gift with the world. Thank you so much for inspiring so many people and increasingly becoming the best version of yourself, becoming more vulnerable in order to connect with more people. Thank you for the dad that you're becoming. Man, it's just, man, I love me some Lamar Womble, period. But tell everyone, Lamar, where they can connect with you online and share with them your websites if they're looking for a one-on-one coach and want to get connected with you and work with you.
Yeah, so just launched my new coaching website, so I'm very excited about that. It's just lamarwomble.com, lamarwomble.com. And then also, obviously, I do a lot of speaking as well. And so predominantly youth speaking, middle school, high school, college students. And that's also what I love to do the most. And you can find me there at passionforleadership.com, passionforleadership.com for speaking opportunities as well.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Whenever this podcast goes live, of course, it'll be shared on all my social media platforms. I'll make sure that Lamar is tagged in it. Do yourself a favor and go follow this guy. Your life will be better because of that. I can't say that about everybody, right? But I can say that about Lamar. Go follow this guy. Out of all the craziness that we find on social media, he is a positive voice that you can lean on, someone you'll be encouraged by, and someone that will add some value to your life. So, Lamar, thanks again for joining me on the podcast. This has been episode 21, Passion and Purpose. Remember, guys, thank you so much for your time. When you give someone a piece of your life, when you give someone your time, you give them a piece of your life. I hope the piece of your life you've given us tonight has been in exchange for some value. Don't just go through life, grow through life. And as always, everybody can encourage somebody. We will see you on the next episode. Thank you guys for listening.
Hey, thanks again for listening in. If you enjoyed this episode and you received some value, could you do me a favor and share it with a friend? If so, I really, really, really appreciate you helping me get the word out about this podcast. As a reminder, this is your place for a shot of encouragement, and my goal is to simply leave you better than I found you. So, my friend, I certainly hope that was the case for you today.